Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hub Arkish is standing by.
Hub Arkish.
I want to talk to Hub.
The Score's senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Talking Bears and the NFL with you.
Hey, what's up, Hub?
Hub, I love you, dude. I've listened to you for years and years.
Whenever you're on, I'm like, oh, wow, wait, great.
Hub, I wanted to get your input on this.
Hub Arkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Time for Hub. Let's do this. Hub Arkish is on Twitter at Hub_Arkish, the Ameristar pregame host and Score Bears and NFL senior expert, is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. Hub, hello.
How you doing, guys?
Wonderful. We're good. It's just, you know, off week, a good time to assess who the Bears are, what they're doing, what they're trying to become.
Yeah, trying to figure out what to do with ourselves this weekend, but plenty of good NFL stuff to watch. And, you know, listen, the Bears have been quiet all week, so we can't learn a whole lot more until Monday, but we'll see how the time off helped them.
Let's get started in Melrose Park with Vince with Hub on the Score. Hi, Vince.
Hello, boys. My question is actually more just NFL related. I was curious with the recent firing of Jay Gruden, if the style of coaching in the NFL is slowly being phase out, like that red nose, you know, get after it, run through a brick wall style. Coaching is kind of being phased out in more of the player-friendly style. Just curious on what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I don't think you would classify Jay Gruden in the former, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know that he was the you've got some part of the body red there. I don't know if he was one of those guys, but, you know, is the style phasing out? The interim guy is Bill Callahan, who immediately decided he was going to work him harder and make things tougher. Now, he's the interim guy. So I think it still comes back to, you know, coaches who have something unique to offer, coaches who've been successful on their climb up the ladder. Obviously, teams recently been looking for coaches who understand the more wide-open passing offenses. I think that trend could be changing very slowly, going back to more, you know, pound at physical running games. So I'd say no. I don't think that there's a certain, you know, caliber. Not well, caliber, yes. I don't think there's a certain style of coach that you're looking for so much as a guy who, you know, either through his actions to date or his philosophies and his planning, you think is going to win for you.
In Chicago Heights, Mike is next with Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, Dan. Listen, Hub, you know, nobody says anything about Leno Jr., good old number 72. Well, Kyle Long is pretty much on his way out. But Leno Jr., man, I keep watching that Raider game, and he tried to block a guy, and he missed him by like 5 feet all the time. And he holds a guy. He's offsides. He's a legal procedure. Whatever. He does nothing right, and he's still on the team. Why?
That was a spectacular call.
Fantastic.
I think that Dan and Connor will attest. I've been questioning why for 3 years.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he's got good feet. And nice finesse and athleticism for the position. Your left tackle is more a stylist than a grinder or a killer. You know, your right tackle is going to be your more physical guy. Leno has improved. There is no question about that. 2 years ago, when he was leading the league in penalties with 13, he actually probably had his best year as a blocker. Last year, he cut the penalties almost in half to 7, but struggled blocking again. And this year, he's just struggling terribly. So he can play better than he has the last 4 or 5 weeks. He has in the past. But he's never really been more than an average left tackle. And that's why I was so stunned when they gave him that that big. And again, some of these contracts, guys, I mean, the contracts that he and Bobby Massey got, they're big contracts, but they don't put him in the top five, top 10 tiers of tackles. So it's not like they overpaid terribly for him, but they did commit to him as the future at the position. And I think we're beginning to see that that may not be the answer.
Hub, I know you know this, but just so everybody else does, Charles Leno Jr. does, in fact, lead the NFL in penalties yet again. He has 8 total for 69 yards. Next guy down, 7 and a whole bunch of 6. So there he is. 2 pre-snap penalties, 8 in total. It's another season so far leading the league.
Yeah, and you know, really, last year as he was cutting down on the penalties, it was still frustrating because most of the 7 he got, or not most, but a number of them were the pre-snap variety. And you know, people will stop and say, well, what could be harder than waiting to move until they snap the ball? But what's disturbing this year, as you just said, not only 8 penalties, but 6 major penalties. I mean, these are drive killers. He has single-handedly stopped 4 drives for this offense. And you know, as we start to throw stones at the quarterbacks and, you know, Kyle Long and some of the receivers, when you are constantly, you know, 1st and 20, 2nd and 25, you can't run your offense. And so it is a major problem. And they either have to, and I don't know that it's coaching, to be honest with you. You know, the first step people always want to go at with penalties is coaching. But in this case, it's not like they're not teaching him the right technique. It's not like they haven't told him 8 million times, you cannot put your hands to the face. You know, they are calling that lobster clap or whatever, the lobster claw, whatever they call it, holding penalty.
Lobster block.
This year.
Yep.
Lobster block. That was one of the 2 we got in London, but the officials came around this summer and told them they were going to do that. You know, so he's got to concentrate better. He's got to focus better. And usually, guys, when that happens, it's because you're getting beat on the first step. So it's not just mental. I mean, you know, you don't go out of your way to do the lobster block or whatever it may be. You get beat on the first step, you start grabbing. You don't want to get your quarterback killed. And so it's a blocking problem more than it is a focus or a concentration problem.
Lock lobster.
Thank you.
Down.
Lock lobster.
Sorry, this hour is brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car, search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental Difference. So I get this email, and it says, Bernsey, I'm dealing with a contractor. I can't call in today. I did have one question for Hub. I hope you can ask him. And because this is from Frank in Oak Park, I will ask the question as follows.
Hi, Hub. A big reason for the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, besides more money to the owner, is to create a more competitive team. In that regard, will the new stadium deal give the Raiders any cut of revenues from non-team events held at the Las Vegas building like Jerry Jones has for his edifice?
Well done. Well done.
Very, very nice. That's Frank good. Imitation. And as usual, a good question from Frank. Unfortunately, Frank, I can't help you with this one. I haven't seen the lease, you know, and only the league has seen the lease. I don't really know how it's going to work. I will disagree with your starting premise that it's to make the team more competitive. No, it's to make the team more financially secure and put them in a good stadium and to get in on the cutting edge of, I think, Vegas consistently for the last 2 decades has been one of the 2 fastest growing areas in the country, along with the Phoenix area. So, yeah, you know, I mean, maybe the team will be better, but it's absolutely about money. And if nothing else, when you compare it to the stadium in Oakland, you know, more club seats, more skyboxes, you know, PSL. I don't know if there are PSLs involved, actually. I don't know if there's any of that revenue. But this is about money, and there's going to be a lot more of it in Vegas than there was ever going to be in Oakland.
312-644-6767. You want to jump in? We got some lines up. We can get you right up, get you right on. This is Sean in Houston, Texas, next on The Score with Hub.
Hey, Hub, how's it going? Got a question. Good, about Sean, Mitch. Thanks. Trubisky. So if Mitch doesn't work out by the end of this year, with Matt Nagy's help, do you think Ryan Pace will actually draft a quarterback in the 2nd or 3rd round to light a fire under Mitch, or even possibly replace Mitch?
You know, I can't say what round he would do it in, but when you say 2nd or 3rd, I think there's A and B. A is, will he draft one in the 1st round, go for a franchise type guy again, or B, will he draft one at all? Because I don't have much criticism of Ryan Pace. I think on balance over 5 years, obviously, other than the controversy now over the Mitch pick, and of course his first one, Kevin White, didn't work out. I can't find a lot of fault. Yeah, you miss a few free agents, you miss here and there. Everybody does. You don't bat 1,000. You don't even bat 500 in that business. But if you can bat 350 or 400, you build a winning team, and that's what he's done. What is so disappointing, though, is that one of the first things Ryan told us almost 5 years ago, 4.5+ years ago when he got here, is that part of his philosophy is he thinks you should draft a quarterback every year, and he's only done it once, and that was Mitch. And that's the part I don't get. And you know, even prior to Chase Daniel and Tyler Bray getting here, we were married to these cast-offs from other teams and you know, middle-aged veterans as backups. And so I do think that's a mistake. I think we're seeing it now because, you know, clearly Chase Daniel is not a guy you want to have to start more than one or two games. And I mentioned earlier this week, if it was me, I would take a long, hard look if Mitch can't go Sunday against the Saints at starting Tyler Bray, only to find out.
No,
only to find out if there's something.
No.
Well, again, Dan, you want to start Chase Daniel again? I mean, you know, those are your options if Mitch can't go.
No,
but
did you see the letter that Colin Kaepernick's agents sent out yesterday?
Dan, I've been screaming that long. I've been screaming Charles Leno. Why the man's not in the league is absolutely inexcusable. How anybody could say he wouldn't be a perfect fit in an RPO offense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you know, it's absurd, but it's not happening, you know. So at least in Chicago, as far as we know, I'm not saying it's never going to happen. What I don't understand, he must have, I'm getting off subject now, he could only have settled the suit, you know, I forget what it was called exactly, but the suit that he was being blackballed, the collusion suit. He could only have settled it with some promise that he'd get fair consideration going forward. Why else would he have settled it? Because he didn't get nearly the money everybody expected him to, and he's still being blackballed, and it's absolutely absurd when you look around the league. This isn't a Bears problem. I mean, there's at least 13, 14 teams that he would be better than their starting quarterback right now. So, yeah, that would be a nice answer. But getting back to the question, I can't imagine, even if it's to replace Chase Daniel or Tyler Bray, not to compete with Mitch, I can't imagine they don't draft a quarterback in some round this coming spring.
Kurt is in Wheaton, and he is on the Score with Hub. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, guys. I'm going to piggyback off of what we're discussing right now here. Hub, I don't know if you're following a lot of the college quarterbacks. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Mitch probably is not going to pan out, barring some sort of a miraculous turnaround. I think we have a couple of picks in the second round. You'll have to refresh my memory in terms of what kind of picks we have coming. But obviously the big name guys are never going to be there. Tua, the kid from LSU, maybe Jalen Hurts, the way he's really probably rising up the draft board, the way he's playing. In the second, third round, who do you like that's in college right now that might be able to do something for us?
Yeah, I don't want to cop out on you, but I'm just not there yet. You know, we're still not even halfway through the college season, and I can throw a bunch of names at you, but to guess what round they would be in, we're not there yet. They do have 2 second-round picks. However, right now they and the Raiders are both 3-2, so those would put those picks, you know, in the middle of the second round, maybe even a little later. So, you know, they'll have some ammunition to do some things if that's what they want to do. I think that we will be able to form a definitive opinion on Mitch by the end of this season, year three, but it is just the end of year three. He's theirs next year and under control in year five. So whether they would try and, you know, move him to get some extra draft capital, I don't know. I know that's not what they're thinking right now. So to try and identify a college player in his stead, it's much easier to say, why don't you do something smart like sign Kaepernick? And by the way, guys, as you can attest, I'm not in the studio. I can't see the text line. But to all the morons who are now, you know, jumping on Kaepernick like he ever committed a crime or something, if you can have a Tyreek Hill playing in the league, if you can have an Adrian Peterson playing in a league, if you can have Vontaze Burfict, who just got suspended for the year, you can certainly have a completely innocent of any crime whatsoever, an actual very admirable young man like Colin Kaepernick playing in the NFL.
Believe it or not, Hub, not many texts calling out the Colin Kaepernick thing. Most curious as to why you could get Tyler Bray on the team without releasing him, and they don't understand that he's just on the practice squad again and he'll be eligible for the Bears as soon as they need him to. They're just playing roster games.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard the fun I was having when I was sitting in for Lawrence Wednesday, but I threw out this theory that it's, and again, I'm not even saying they should do it, but I think at least in practice they need to look at it, that they should consider it. And I had like 14 texters. Hub doesn't even know they just released Tyler Bray. I wanted to have Shane Reardon break into programming yesterday to announce the Bears have just re-signed Tyler Bray to the practice squad. he's their number three, folks, regardless of which roster he's on. So if you were ever going to do it, that's where you would look.
We're going to do more with Hub in just a bit. We've got a couple people holding and a couple opportunities. If you want to jump in and ask questions of Hub, even just say something to him. It doesn't have to be in the form of a question. It can also be a statement to which we can react. Whatever you want, interact with the Hublisher. 312-644-6767. More football talk coming your way. Keep it here. Bernstein and McKnight on a Friday on The Score. It is your day with Hub Arkush. You enjoy having him here for you. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves games are a great excuse to get your group together, whether it's for a company outing, a birthday party, a team celebration, or anything else. To set up your group, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Another bank of calls for Hub. It's been terrific so far. We continue on the south side with Gorman on The Score.
Gorman. Morning, Hub.
Hey, Gorman.
Hey, I wanted to ask, will the NFL ever cut back on the preseason and add two more games to the regular season, in your opinion?
Well, they're actually two separate issues, and in my opinion, you will end up with something looking like that after next season. The 2011 collective bargaining agreement will expire. There will almost certainly be a work stoppage in 21, but eventually they'll get to something. And there is too much money involved in not adding regular season games for the league and the players to not somehow come together and understand that. B, if you're going to do that just to stay on a similar calendar, you have to shorten the preseason. And C, more and more fans are getting tired of getting ripped off by the preseason games, and they obviously accomplish nothing. Now I think when you look at teams like the Rams and the Bears struggling right now, and again, we don't want to make this a year-long debate, you do have to question the wisdom of not having taken better advantage of the exhibition games. But as coaches choose not to, why play them and tick off everybody? So common sense tells us that this is going to happen, but I can tell you from a negotiating position, while both sides are now making noise about shortening the preseason, the players continue at the moment to be pretty locked in against any more regular season games.
In Homewood, here's Ted. He's on The Score with Hub.
Hi, Hub. I've been watching the Bears since 64, the year right before Sarris got drafted.
And Butkus.
I've never seen – hello, and Butkus, right? Sarris drafted 4, Butkus drafted 3. But I've never seen a less effective running game, and I'm wondering – is it scheme? Is it physical strength? Because I can't believe it's just scheme. These guys when Montgomery, who looks like he's a tremendous running back, he has no room to run. The defenses dare the Bears to run. They dare the Bears to pass it intermediate or deep. What are they going to do? Have you ever seen a running game this ineffective and dismal?
Well, I think it is absolutely scheme, but you have to understand that scheme is still the responsibility more of players to execute it than coaches to coach it. And so if it sounds like I'm trying to play both sides of the fence, let me explain. We know, Kyle Long is an all-pro at guard at one time. We know that Bobby Massey, is a very good, and still continues to be, I think, possibly a very good run blocker. I can guarantee you Cody Whitehair and James Daniels can do it. Charles Leno is certainly good enough. They can block the run. They're not executing this scheme. And I personally am not a huge fan of this scheme because it depends so much more on east-west than north-south. And even these straight-ahead dives between the tackles, these zone reads, the concept of a zone read is that you approach the hole and then decide which way to go. There should be only one way to go, and that's north, you know, in the running game. That's when you see teams do what the Colts did to the Chiefs last week and what the 49ers did to the Browns. And no, it hasn't been in vogue in recent years in the NFL. Nobody ever said it's bad or get rid of it. It's just that it got more exciting and quicker and more dominant to be able to put up 40, 45 points a game by throwing the ball all over the place. So the question is, can you run a lot of Matt Nagy's passing concepts with a more physical, power-driven running game as opposed to the zone read stuff. And you know, some teams are very successful with the zone read. The Steelers were for years with Le'Veon Bell, and they had a power-blocking line, interestingly enough. But right now, I don't think that anybody in that building has an answer to the best way to go. And they got to get the whole coaching staff and all the players on the same beat and see if they can't execute it.
All right, let's address Kyle Long for the moment. It's the second time his name has come up. And we're asking big and fair questions about where he is, because if he can't do what is being asked of him physically, if he's just too physically impaired, if it's not something acute that's going to get better, the number of surgeries that he's had, what he's been through, and where he is right now, is it possible that he's done? Is it possible that we get to the end of this bye week and in their self-scouting, they say to themselves, we need to move on from this?
Oh, it's certainly possible, Dan. And I want to be really adamant here. Anybody who thinks Kyle Long is what's wrong with the run, you're not saying this. Anybody who thinks Kyle Long is what's wrong with the running game and that everything else is fixed if you do better than him, that's simply not true. Kyle isn't playing well. Anybody can look at the tape and see that, okay? But nobody on that line is consistently playing well. They're not working as a unit, and the offensive line of any unit on a football team is the one that requires the most cohesion, timing, and teamwork. And so, you know, they're all at time. Well, Bobby Massey hasn't played all that badly. Everybody, and nor has Cody White here. James Daniels isn't playing badly. He's still learning the position. The weak links right now, the weaker links, I will say, are Kyle and Charles. And the problem then is that you just nailed it. We don't know which of the two it is. If he's just hurting again, and if there is some of the old Kyle Long still there, sit him down for a couple weeks, get him 100%, and let's see. But you have to consider the possibility that after three consecutive seasons of missing half the year with fairly drastic injuries, they had to be. He missed half the season, and I don't know how many operations, just three operations the year before last. It could be that's all healed and he's not feeling pain, that he doesn't feel hurt. But because of ligaments calcify and you get permanent scarring and inflammation, he just may not be able athletically to do the things he was able to do 3 years ago. And if that's the case, then this probably isn't going to get much better. And then the Bears have to make a very hard decision. But that's almost an impossible thing for a young player just turned 30 to be at peace with in his mind. I'm sure he is still telling them every day, I can do it, I can do it, stay with me. And so it makes this a very tough call for Matt Nagy, for Mark Helfrich, for Harry Hiestand.
In Oak Park, it is Rodney. He's on Sports Radio 670.
Hey, Hub. I wonder, have you heard the explanation that Watson gave after his last two games about what he was looking at when he was reading the defense and what his offense calls for him to do? And then you compare those with what Mitch says usually after every game. I think every game Mitch comes, it's like he has echolalia. He says everything that Nagy has said, or he says everything that's a cliche. There's no way you can convince me you can get into the room, talk football with those two players, and say that, well, Trubisky is going to be the better player.
Well, Rodney, I apologize. I have not heard anything from Watson the last 10 days or the last two games.
Oh, it's but great. After the last two games, he goes through these full breakdowns of what he's mm-hmm. seeing, what they expected. It's very cool stuff.
Yeah, they're two very different guys. And you know, I mean, I was adamant the night of the draft, you know, leading up to the pick and after, that I couldn't believe you wouldn't take Deshaun Watson first in that draft. And I absolutely would have taken him ahead of Patrick Mahomes. You know, would I do that today? I don't know. You know, I can't say absolutely not, probably not, but that's 2020 hindsight. And I would not have taken Mahomes ahead of Trubisky, you know, nor would most people we know. So let's mm-hmm. keep the record clear on that. But to me, Watson was always the easier choice. He was much better trained in college. I mean, you know, he had two and a half times as many starts, but played in two championship games, was much more successful, and also is a different personality. And you knew on day one that Watson came across as the more schooled, more studied player. I've had the opportunity to talk to Mitch a couple times off the record, away from the press conferences, away from people. Believe me, guys, he gets it. He knows what he's seen. And when he's relaxed and talking, he can be very well spoken. That's not the issue. The issue is he seeing enough? Because some guys play their whole lives and they never see it. It never slows down. They never get the picture right. I have maintained for the last 4 or 5 weeks now that one of my concerns is that he may very well just be being overcoached. And that's why this stuff that you hear, you know, after games and in press conferences, A, that's being ground into him, is that's the attitude that they want to hear from their quarterback around Lake Forest. But even more than that, don't say anything that is going to open a Pandora's box and get you in trouble. So I just think they need to let the kid be himself. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But it's not working this way. I think he's being terribly overcoached. I think he's got restraints on him. And I think it's time to take a chance, throw him out there, let Mitch be Mitch. And if it doesn't work, you got to fix it. But maybe it will work because the kid does definitely have some talent.
And I absolutely agree with Rodney that when you hear that stuff from Watson and you never hear anything close to it from Trubisky, I don't know if it's because Trubisky's incapable of discussing football that way or he just chooses to spout the coaching cliches instead of doing that because he's told not to.
That's a choice.
I have a feeling if you talk to him after a game and you really wanted to talk football with him or Chase Daniel wanted to talk football with him, I bet he could do that. He just chooses not to.
Yeah, Dan, I can tell you it's absolutely a choice. I can't tell you for certain how much his free speech is being limited, if at all, by the coaching staff. But the other thing you got to add to this equation is it's a lot easier to have that conversation when you just put 53 points on the board, than when you're constantly struggling out there.
Here is Antonio in Bolingbrook on the Score with Hub Arkush.
Hey, guys. What's up, Hub? I've heard several analysts, yourself and Olin Krutz included, remark on how good James Daniels projects as a center going forward, claiming he could be a pro bowler as good as the best in the league. Is that based strictly off of strength and footwork? Are these certain techniques that he uses that stand out? What things specifically do you see, are you seeing, that we as viewers watching his home can look for to gauge his progress, his talent, that validates such high praise?
You know, it's a really good question, and the answer is some of all of the above. It starts with he's got the classic center's body. He is all, it's not that he's not strong, you know, upper body, but he's all waist down. He's got the huge rear end and thighs and great ability to anchor and get leverage. His technique is really very impressive for a 22-year-old center with just 5 starts in the National Football League. And he executes certain things athletically at the position that actually don't work as well at guard. You know, Olin gave a description. I can't remember if it was we were on the air. We were talking during a break on Sunday, but he talked about it. He was on the air. He was talking about how he modeled his game after Tom Nalen, who is a center from the Broncos, who was very good for a number of years, but who people may not remember because he wasn't necessarily an all-pro every year, but his technique was outstanding. And the ability to do reach blocks and to make the line calls and to identify things. Daniels is showing all these traits, and then most importantly, when you watch the tape, he is executing most of it about, you know, 80-85% of the time. He is continuing to struggle at times because there are players across the line from him who've been doing this for 4, 5, 9 years, have every move in the books, and there's things that he is seeing for the first time. So he's getting used to the position, but it is both his prospects, his physical makeup, and what we are starting to see on tape that leads to that positive evaluation.
You're right about the rear end. I noticed that
this
in training camp.
Giant ass.
Yes,
yeah,
the moment he walked out of the field, I said, that is a grand and glorious arse that should only have the hands of a quarterback lovingly underneath it.
Matt, you know, look at the Pouncey brother, guys.
Yep.
Look at some of the other great centers. They all had it, you know. So
in Valpo, it is Matt on the Score with Hub.
Hey, Hub. I was just wondering, to me it's crazy that the Bears play in one of the lowest capacity stadiums in the NFL, if not the lowest. Do you think, I'm 31, do you think in my lifetime I'll get to see the Bears play in a respectable stadium that's their own, perhaps a retractable roof? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Well, now you're asking me to be an expert on politics, Chicago politics to boot, not football. So I don't know how good an answer I can give. I can tell you it's the smallest stadium in the league. The day they opened the rebuilt Soldier Field, it was the second smallest. Only Minnesota was smaller, and now it is bigger. It's not smaller by leaps and bounds, you know. I mean, it's what, 61.7 or something like that. Maybe it's a little bigger now. I don't know. But I think there are others, new buildings that are in the 66, 68 range, most like to be around 70. But now we get into why this all happened, you know. And I think the problem for the Bears is that these new palaces that are being built, They got public money, but they still have a lot of private money too. And there is no personal McCaskey family wealth. I mean, you know, they're very wealthy because of their ownership in the team. But without selling the team, and they're still, you know, leading, you know, they could lead better lifestyles than most of us if they chose to. But they don't have the kind of, you know, billion-dollar wealth that these other owners like the Kroenkes do to build these palaces. So now you get into, can the city or the state build it for them? And again, I don't think this is controversial when I say Illinois' finances are probably the worst or among the worst of any state in the country. The city's worse. And I personally would vote against spending money on a new stadium before we fix the teachers' pensions and other things, you know. So it seems highly unlikely that there's going to be any move towards stadiums in Chicago for the foreseeable future.
Hub, thank you. As always, we look forward to the Ameristar postgame show when it reconvenes. Must be nice. You get a week off with everybody else. And thank you. We'll talk again.
Well, real quick, actually, I am not taking the week off. I will be in Lambeau Monday night for Lions-Packers for Westland 1, and you'll hear it right here on The Score, which is why I wanted to make sure I got there.
Here we go.
Yeah, we'll have the Packers-Lions game for you Monday night.
Outstanding. Hub, thank you.
All right, take care.
Midday Midway is coming up, and your first of two chances to win $1,000 in cash.
I have a tale of woe. I also have an Arizona Fall League pitcher who got himself into a tight spot.
I have Daryl the Barrel. Do you know who that is?
I do not.
You're going to meet Daryl the Barrel.
I can hardly contain myself.
Obviously.
And neither can he. Midday Midway on the way. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.